the encouragement the Lord has given you.
No, please, don't. Don't. You can sit down now, it's fine. Did you know, studies have shown that women who put on a few extra pounds live longer than the men who mention it? You didn't think that was going in that direction, huh? And look, I brought props. I'm like becoming a mini Pastor John over here. It's how's everybody doing? You guys good? Man, I just love that time of worship. I love worshiping with you guys. The presence of God is definitely in the house. Amen. Well, we are continuing our series on Philippians, and I promise we're almost done. I know it's been like a year and a half. So, no, I'm just kidding. If you are like me, and you have an unintentional tendency to define who you are by your occupation, your achievements, and successes, maybe not to an extreme level, but it's subtle. It can happen. But for a long time, I used to think that even having the desire to be successful and pursuing anything outside of God was like selfish and wrong. And it wasn't until, you know, as I got older in the Lord that I realized that that's not the case, right? We are hardwired by God, made in His image, to be fruitful, to multiply, to produce, provide, prevail. Hey, look at that. That could be a sermon. Look at the produce, provide, prevail. That's it. Who wants to fail? Right? Nobody wants to fail. In the words of Nacho Libre, I want to win. And you have a soft spot for people with accents, so I like doing accents. So, but what happens when all of those wins, all of those successes and accomplishment cause us to turn away from God? Depending on God, to depending on our own self-sufficiency to make us right before Him, right? Our identity then becomes all about our accolades and accomplishments. And you know what? The same thing goes for failures too. What happens when you define your identity and right standing with God based on your failures? You begin to define everything on your successes, and you try harder, you do more, right, in your own effort to try to earn your way back into God's love and affection and forgiveness, working harder to be good enough so that you could be worthy enough, right? Am I speaking to anyone here today? So today, we're going to look at portions of Philippians 3, where the Apostle Paul talks about personal success, and what really matters, what real success looks like. And he's also going to show us a strategy on how we can move past failure, right? And I believe that as we grasp these truths today, that we're going to experience new levels of freedom, right? Does that sound good? Yeah. New levels of freedom, new passion, love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that we won't define ourselves from our successes or failures, but by who God says we are. Amen? So what I love about Paul is that no matter where he went, his message was the same. Right? It was the message of Christ and him crucified. First Corinthians 2, verse 2 says that. He's like, I desire to know nothing else other than Christ and him crucified. For what? So that your hope and your faith would not rest on me and my expertise and what I know, but it would rest on Jesus. And it would rest on the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that is what I want to do today, folks. I don't want to be impressive, because I'm not very, even, yeah, you know, I'm a little impressive. You know. Yes. I'm so humble, just ask me. Yeah. Hey now, But that's what I want to do today. Can I just preach the gospel today?
Yeah.
Let's go. Why don't we pray? Let's pray. We're praying, church. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. I pray that you would use me as your vessel, your words. Put your fire on my tongue and in my spirit to speak your truth today, Lord God. I pray that every heart in this house and watching online would be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit today. And that if we walk away with nothing else, it would be just more aware of your presence and love. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Further, my brothers and sisters, here we go. Rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve by the Spirit of the Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. Say no confidence in the flesh. That's our first point today, is no confidence in the flesh. So we see Paul in this scripture drawing a hard line here between what the religious works people were saying and what the gospel, the finished work of the cross, says. Now, the religious people were saying that following the strict ordinances of the law was how you were made right with God. That's the old way, and that's how God set it up through Moses. But the new way was those who heard the gospel, believed in what Jesus provided, and his righteousness imparted was how they were made right with God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So that's the new way. The old way was the mark on the flesh through circumcision, was these ritualistic things. The new way was the mark on Jesus' body to set us free from our sins. And not only that was the mark, it was the mark of the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost and was the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Let's read that. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. How many of God's possession do we have in here today? How many are marked by the Holy Spirit? You are his. I received this mark from the Holy Spirit at a very young age. A lot of you, I think I've shared this story with, but I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was about 14, 15 years old. And it wasn't at a church service. It wasn't at a conference or anything like that. I was at a sleepover with my friend Luke, and he was, you know, up on his bed, and I was down on the floor in a sleeping bag, and we were talking about, I think we were talking about purity or something like that, or along those lines about being pure as young men. And then the topic got on to angels. We were talking about how, you know, the activity of angels in people's lives. And I don't remember the story fully, but I remember a teacher I had who said her son saw angels above the church, all shoulder to shoulder, and they were walking into the congregation, and he was like, look, Mom, you know. And as I'm trying to share this story, my words stopped. It's like somebody gripped my words and I couldn't say anything anymore. And I'm laying there on the floor and I'm like, yeah, I knew this teacher who could see it. And then I felt my heart explode with this love and this fire and this electricity. And I immediately knew that was the Holy Spirit. That big God would see little me, you know? and come and touch his son like that. And for hours, 3 hours, I felt that love and that power just coursing through my body in waves after wave after wave. I couldn't stand up. Every time I tried to stand up, it just felt so amazing to be marked God's possession, to be filled with the Holy Ghost like that. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit is not just this theory, not just an idea, but a person, right? Jesus said that if I don't go, I can't send the Holy Spirit. It's good that I go, because then I can send the counselor. I can send the Holy Spirit. And he did. And he comes like fire. He comes with power. Marks you, seals you as a child of God. Amen. So, if you have received Christ as your Savior, you have been marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Amen. So Paul was saying, watch out or stay away from those who relied on doing everything in the right order to make yourself right with God. We put no confidence in the flesh. Say no confidence in the flesh. Because what does putting confidence in the flesh do? One, it places the burden of dealing with your sin on you and your own willpower to conquer it. That works out nicely. It puts up a wall of unworthiness, and then we must work to feel worthy enough to come to God. Ever been in that place in your life? I can't come to church because I messed up this week. No, you should. That's when you come to church. That's when you come to God. When you're the most broken, when you're the most hurting, when you're the most messed up. How many messed up people we have in the house? Good, it's not just me. Praise God. Putting your confidence in the flesh distorts the love of God to be conditional on whether or not we succeed or fail by our own efforts. So, time to use the props. This ladder is you. This is self-effort, okay? And then this ladder is God. God imparted righteousness, okay? So, we can put effort and say, hey, this is actually kind of working. I feel like I'm excelling in life. I'm doing really good. I'm conquering everything by my own willpower and self-effort. Okay, God, it feels like he's far away, right? We can't do it God's way going up the wrong ladder. But maybe you're like me sometimes and you do a little bit of both, right? You're like, okay, I'll surrender certain parts of my life to God, you know, to God, and then I'm not ready to give up control of this area in my life, whatever that is for you. And for a while, it works, you know, and you're like, okay, I'm doing both, but how far can I go, really? How far, and how is this going to work? You're gonna be doing a really crazy split soon trying to balance both worlds. Is this making sense to anyone? So, yeah, I won't go up any higher. No. OSHA be like, what? So the old way was about performance. The new way is about faith. Say faith. Faith. Let's read Romans 3:20-24. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law, the rules, the regulations, the self-effort, the law shows us how sinful we are, right? It's just a mirror. Look how awful you are compared to a holy God. That's what the law does. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith, say faith one more time, in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. No matter who you are. For everyone has sinned and falls short of God's glorious standard, yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of sin. Amen. That's the good news right there. That's some good news. So we see, we can't put confidence in our own efforts and self-sufficiency to perform the law. Being made right with God is not through you, but through him. So the crazy thing is, though, what Paul says next is, after he obliterates the notion that any and all human effort to obtain godliness is futile, he says that even if it was, that he would be able to do it. And let's read Philippians 3 through 4. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reasons for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Wow. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, here it is. Here's the spiritual pride thing. I obeyed the law without fault. He obeyed the law without fault. Holy religious flex, Batman. Paul basically says, as far as religion, he was perfect. And as far as accomplishments and his social class, social status, he was top dog. There ain't nothing, this is what he's saying, there ain't nothing about anyone else's achievements, good and godly behavior, human effort, that can top mine. Wow, that sounds very, very prideful. So, spiritual pride. I had a little run-in with spiritual pride, and I've shared this testimony before at the pulpit, so let me try to paraphrase as best I can. I grew up in church. I grew up going to Christian school. The church had a school, and youth group was Friday night, so after going to churchy school, we went to churchy church, and then churchy youth group, and then I was in a churchy band. So my life was all consumed with God all the time. Great, that's awesome. What a good environment. But here's the problem that I ran into, was that I judged every single person that was outside of that. That if you didn't grow up the way I did and experience God the way I did, and you were just out in the world doing whatever you want, that you're like, I'm way better than you. I was judgmental. And it took God chipping away at that spiritual pride over and over again. He did it through my wife when I started to judge her when we first met, and God was like, it's like, knock that off. You're going to miss out on my best for you because of your spiritual pride. I was like, okay, God, I'm so sorry about that. I repent. In my mind, it was all about conduct and behavior and separating yourself from the world, which, in essence, like, as a Christian, that's what we're called to do. Right? Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Be holy as I am holy. Holiness means separate. But not in the spiritually prideful Pharisee way, but in our gracious, merciful, loving Jesus way. He came to save and redeem sinners, not condemn them. John 3:16. But where he did not condemn, this is where it is. Where he did not condemn does not mean he condoned sin. He provided the way out of living under the grip of the law because he was the way out. from living under law. He often said, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more. Right? Neither do I condemn you, now go and leave your life of sin. So in regards to spiritual pride pertaining to law and human effort, Paul had what we call credibility, right? When somebody has credibility and they have the authority or the expertise to speak on a matter, and what do? We trust what they have to say. We like, okay, let me hear you out. And so what Paul says next gives him credibility, and we need to pay attention to it. Let's read Philippians 3, 7 through 9. Do I still have you? We're good? Awesome. I once thought these things were valuable. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. No longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law, but rather I become righteous through faith in Christ. So our second point is all confidence in Christ. Our first one was no confidence in the flesh. Second one was all confidence in Christ. So Paul, if right standing with God could be accomplished through human effort, he would have been able to do it because he was just about perfect. Just ask him, right? But right after he gets knocked off his high horse, figuratively and literally, he encounters the resurrected Christ. And he then sees all the religious and human effort to make himself perfect could never measure up. The answer was not in the doing more and trying harder, but rather in a person. The answer was Jesus and what he did on our behalf. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So the only thing to be done was to believe and receive what Christ did for him on his behalf. That is what makes a person righteous. And so, with this revelation, yes, the appropriate response would be to discard the old way and consider it rubbish. Like, I was putting all of my focus, all of my effort, wasting so much time trying to make myself holy and righteous to come to God, when that price and all that work was already done for you on the cross, because you could never do it in and of yourself. So, even if you did everything right, think about that. All the things that you do in your life, everything you tried, all of your religious attempts, if you did it perfectly, it still wouldn't be good enough. Right? Getting to heaven by being a good person hasn't worked, and it's never going to. You need, because there's a sin problem, and the sin problem needs a redemptive act from someone who is actually perfect. That's the Son of God. Amen. So what Christ did on the cross for us was to forgive our sin, to conquer death, to give us eternal life. His whole purpose was to cancel the debt and break its power over our lives and to reconcile us back to the Father. That is the message of the gospel. Righteousness comes from what Christ did for us, not what we try to do to obtain it. It's accomplished by faith. Say faith. So Romans 3:28 says, so we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. Okay. So we've done a lot of comparison on like no confidence in the flesh, all confidence in Christ, right? But maybe you're sitting here feeling kind of caught at a crossroad. Like, how do I move forward with this now? Like, what do I do next? Do we just stop all human effort whatsoever and try and stop working? Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Okay, Josh. Is the pursuit of excellence in doing things well and accomplishing things in life wrong? No, not at all. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will what? Succeed. Psalm 35:27. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights and takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So, work, God doesn't despise work. Jesus says in John 5:17 that the Father is always at work till this very day. Ministry is work, right? Life is work. Without it, nothing would get done in our relationships or whatever we're called to. That's not what Paul's talking about. That's not the type of work Paul's talking about. But it's the working that makes ourselves righteous in our own strength, boasting in our own accomplishments, thinking that that can save us. You hear what I'm saying? Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Our work, our position in Christ is meant to glorify God. Amen? It's meant to be an extension of like, God, everything that I do is pointing back to you, not pointing to myself. It's not that we work hard, okay, I'll add God in whenever I need him, kind of like an augment to our life for strength. After I've done everything I can do, then I'll go to God. It's like, no, he is your life. He is your everything. And everything that we do points to him, right? Jesus said that. And he's our perfect example. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear the Father saying, and we should do and say likewise. Amen?
Amen.
So, I think we're at a place where we understand this truth, right? Let's look at Paul's strategy now on how we can move past failure, whether it's failure of falling short of God's glorious standard, as we just read, you know, falling short of sinning, you know, or failing at living up to Christ's imparted righteousness, where you're trying to do it in your own self-effort. The third point is to forget the past and move forward. Forget the past and move forward. Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 12, 14 says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on. Say press on to possess that perfection for Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. How many of us have done really well in our lives dwelling on or being stuck in the past? Can I see a show of hands? Yeah? You've done really well? No. Do you find yourself ever ruminating over the mistakes you've made? Or the never? Wow. Or mistakes others have made towards you? Offense? Not at all. Yeah. Man, we got a lot to bring before the Lord today. Do you feel like you're living under a cloud of regret, working harder and staying busy to run away from the regrettable things you've done? Ever been there? I know of people in my life that are just constantly filling up their schedule, running away from the things they've done. And they are tired. Ever been there before? Like, I am just running around in circles trying to make myself right and do all the things right, and I keep messing up, so I'll just get busier and try harder and do more. That's this ladder that's pulling you away from God. We both know that if we stay in that ruminating, stay stuck in the past, what that does to us, right? It robs us of joy. It steals our peace, you know? It sounds an awful lot like what the devil does. Doesn't that? The enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you are stuck dwelling on your past and dwelling on your failures, he gets to just manipulate you with lies and speak all kinds of things. We're not a church that's going to let him do that, right? Mm-mm. That's right, get a sozo. We've all heard the saying that those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Has anyone ever heard that? And in the sense of learning from your mistakes, that's good. Move on then. But I came up with a saying myself. Those who dwell in their negative history can never move past it. I got news for you. God isn't back there anymore. He's right here with your future in his hand. And it's a bright future. And he is ready to fill you with his Holy Spirit so that you can do what he's called you to do. I've been witness to so many situations where there's a situation that seems irredeemable, right? You might have one of those in your life where it's like, there's no way that God could turn this around. But God turned it around. That's just what he does. He's in the redeeming, restoring business. So, today, let's do what Isaiah 43:18 through 19 says. I don't think I have it up there for you guys. But it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Tell yourself that. Do not dwell on the past. See, I, the Lord, am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. What's your wilderness? What's your wasteland situation right now? Is it sin in your life? Is it just working so hard to try to prove that you're worthy for God? He's making a way for you, and he did it through Christ Jesus. And it's obtained by what? Faith. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. Amen. So let's go to the Holy Spirit right now. Let's close our eyes. Pray. Oh, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this moment. Thank you for the word that you spoke to us today, God. Hebrews says that your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. So speak to us right now, Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask a few questions. And these are just to lead us to bringing ourselves in whatever situation it is before God, okay? If you're sitting here today and you've been depending on your own strength to make yourself right with God, you're tired and out of ideas and at your wit's end, you can discard those things like Paul did. You can discard doing it your own way and embrace the new way, and that is taking on and receiving what Jesus has freely given to you. If you find yourself spiritually, maybe socially and academically prideful, thinking that because of your accomplishments it makes you better and more worthy, then I urge you to humble yourself and discard the pride. Understand that you cannot make yourself worthy by your own efforts, but by surrendering control over to God, believing that Jesus is the one that makes you righteous. Your accomplishments are amazing. I want to validate you too. If you have found success in your life, that's awesome. That's amazing. God, praise God for that. Now you get to use it for his glory. you get to point others to Christ and not rely on your own self-sufficiency, but on grace sufficiency. And the last thing here, if you feel like the world's biggest failure, like you've blown it with God over and over again in areas of your life, and you just find yourself stuck in the past, not able to move on, it's time to bring that before the cross today. It's time to let go of that. It's controlling you. And it's stopping you from stepping into your divine calling and God's best for you. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, I do a new thing. I really get a strong sense that God is doing a new thing in a lot of our hearts in this particular season. And even maybe even right now for you, he's tugging on your heart. You can turn back to your heavenly Father like the prodigal son. And I promise you, that God is in the restoration and redeeming business, and he can turn any situation around. Romans 8 says that God is able to work out all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Amen?
Amen.
Are you called according to his purposes? Are you God's possession marked with the Holy Spirit? Awesome. Well, we're gonna invite the prayer teams down after we sing a song. But if you haven't given your life over to Jesus, and what I've been preaching today, I see a lot of familiar faces in here, but if you're watching online even, and you haven't made that commitment to surrendering your life over to Jesus, he is the way. He is the truth. He's the life. There's nothing you can do to make yourself right or to save yourself. You need the forgiveness of Jesus. You need to be made a new creation, as it says in the Word. So, let's close our eyes one more time. And you can pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I know that I'm a sinner and need a Savior. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and forgive me for my sins. Today, I commit to following you all the days of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And everyone said, amen. So if you prayed that prayer online or in the house, the Bible says that you're a new creation, and that you're a Christian, you're born again of spirit. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, and we're just going to give thanks to God, right? We have so much to be thankful for. Amen? Amen. And after we worship, we're going to invite the prayer teams down. If you really feel like this word was for you, and God is doing something in your heart, I want to invite you down front so that we can pray for you, and you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I would love to pray with you too, to have that encounter and to just, you know, just be filled with God's love. Amen? All right, let's sing it out.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude?
Thank you, Jesus.
I could sing this song as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do.
Let's sing it out.
So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing, I'll stand for a king.
Gates with thanksgiving today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love, for your grace. Lord, we just receive everything that you have for us today, God. Come on.
Come on, my son. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of
on the very end of your rope, and this message suits it, that theme, perfectly. And what the Lord was just speaking to me is that right now, for many of us, this is a moment when you get to do something about it. You got me? Like, everything Josh has talked about is explained very perfectly, what he has done for us and what he's willing to do, but there's a part that we play in this. There's a response. And what the Lord's impressing on me is, and I don't say this very often. In fact, I can't remember the last time I said this. But there are moments that are pivotal moments. There are moments that are full of the presence of God where you get to make a choice in this moment to do some simple thing that says, I'm going to begin stepping into what you have done for me. I'm going to begin responding. I'm not passive. I'm not hopeless. I'm not finished. I'm not in despair. I'm tired of living under the law and trying to get it right. But there's this moment where you can respond. And I believe what the Lord is saying is, if you will come forward, if you're in a place where you're at the end of your rope and you're just sick of the whole thing, you can come forward and people are going to lay hands on you and pray for you, and you're going to get touched by God, and you're going to get more of him that you need to carry on. It's one of those moments. And we don't want to miss it. Another thing we do here, it's interesting, is we leave room for God to speak through us. And Linnea had a word from the Lord about 5 minutes, 7 minutes ago. She came and checked it with me, and it fit. It's a good word. So I want you to come up and give it, and then we're going to have an opportunity for whoever to respond to this. And I really suggest that you do. If this little bit has read your mail and this is feeling like, that's who I am, he's talking about, that's who I am, you do something about it. You don't sit passively. You come and you get prayer.
Hi. So this message resonated with me so much. Before coming to GPC, I didn't know that I was under the law. I didn't know that I was under this word called legalism, where I felt like I would go to bed and ask, did I do enough for you today? Was I enough for you? By the power of God, being here has set me free of that. And what God showed me is that my whole life I was believing a lie that if I didn't read my Bible, if I wasn't praying, if I wasn't doing everything for the glory of God, like that verse, like Josh was saying, he did everything, he fit in every single area. That was my whole life. I couldn't even go to the bathroom without asking him to go to the bathroom. That's how under the law I was. And he revealed to me through this verse that that's a lie. And I just feel impressed upon my heart to share with you that if you guys are feeling the lie that you're not enough, and that if you feel like, did I do enough for you, or am I enough for you, just questioning all of that stuff, like thinking that if I don't do enough that God's not going to love me. Like legalism is a form of going, God, I did this and this and this, okay, now can I have your love? Like you're earning his favor, and he already has favor on you. You're already his child. He's the apple of his eye. And so just this verse I want to declare, it says, I'm convinced that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes, yes.
And so if you're living under that lie.
So that's the invitation right there, is to come and get some of that. If this is your moment, don't miss it. Prayer team, why don't you come forward? And anyone that wants prayer on this theme or prayer for anything else, you come forward and we're going to pray for you. And this little ever ready battery right here, this little kid with the, she's full of the Holy Spirit right now. So we're going to get her to be part of the prayer team, laying hands on people. So if you need prayer and you want to apply this, come on forward. And ministry team, we're going to start praying for you.